months ago, and Tyler was already stewing and had no idea what else was going to be happening this weekend. So it's very timely, and so once again, I just welcome all of our guests here today. And so this message will probably hit different people different ways. It's on heaven, and more specifically, heaven on earth. And so with that, I'm just going to open up in prayer. Lord, we just quiet ourselves and ask that you would help us to prepare our hearts to hear what you have to say to us. Lord, I believe that you have a specific message for each of us, and it'll be different for each of us, but it'll be specific. So Lord, we're just inviting you to speak and to say that your servant is listening. I think kids hear from God a little bit better than us sometimes. And so there was this girl that I heard about was talking to God, as having this conversation with God. And the girl says, God, what is a minute like to you? And he says, a minute's like 1,000 years. And she said, well, And she thought about it, and she says, so God, what's a penny like to you? And he says, well, a penny's like $1 million. And she thinks about it a little longer, and she says, God, can I have a penny? And he says, yeah, just a minute. So I like to start with something funny. You kind of like kiss with me, especially me. Heaven's a pretty deep thing, and everybody has their idea about what heaven is like, too, don't they? Like, I mean, nobody in here for sure. I mean, when you think about heaven, like, picture heaven, and I guarantee, like, every single mind is just thinking something, you know, maybe some things are similar, like the Gold Street, maybe, you know. But even that probably looks different in your mind than somebody else. So, and then you hear about it too. You hear about it in song, or you just hear random people talking about it. There's this recent song called Heaven by Kane Brown. And the first time I heard it, like the opening, kind of like how he kind of opens up, is really, really cool. And then, you know, my kid was listening to it, and then it gets to like comparing his relationship with a girl with heaven, and it's like rubbing me wrong, you know. It's like how can you even try to compare heaven with something so simple? You kind of get this, I don't know if you get that rub. So you might even get that rub today as we start talking about heaven. There might be something I say that's like in contradiction with your view of what heaven might look like. And because, you know, it's like we know it's paradise, and we know, we also kind of have this idea that maybe it's a little bit beyond our belief. Like we can picture so much, but not all of it. Other people have written about heaven. Belinda Carlisle wrote Heaven is a Place on Earth. Ooh, baby, don't you know? Another one, that was in 1987. I just looked that up this morning. And a little bit before that, I didn't know this song was even older than that. It's Heaven by Bryan Adams. I didn't even realize it was that old. And my wife's saying, aw, because it's our song. So back in 1994, when we started dating, everybody picked a song. That was our song. And, you know, her number was number 4, and mine was number 3. And so we'd write these little notes, 3 + 4 = 7, the number of perfection, heaven. So we had it all going on. But, you know, it's cute. And we like to talk about heaven. But it's still like beyond it. Let me read something by Billy Graham. Before I do, can I have a few people look up, like, I need like 6 different people to look up verses for me. So Dylan, can you do Revelations 22, 1 and 2? And Mr. Guy, can you do Isaiah 65, 25? Where are we? Look. And then Luke 22, 30. John, Matt 8:11, Brian, Revelation 21:4, and lastly, one more, John, Isaiah 35:5-6. Billy, I found this in an article about Billy Graham talking about heaven, and so I thought it was really cool, and he references a few different verses in here too. But just listen to what someone who is pretty established and has talked about it a lot, what he has to say about it. The Bible doesn't answer all our questions about heaven, but it does tell us that it will be far more glorious than anything we can imagine. Heaven is like the most perfect and beautiful place we can possibly conceive, only more so. Only in heaven will we know exactly what heaven is like. People have speculated for centuries about what heaven will be like, some realistic, some fanciful, or even perverse. But the most essential truth about heaven is this: we will be in God's presence forever. And because we will be with God, no harm or evil can ever touch us again. One of the most moving descriptions of heaven in all scripture is this: He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away, Revelation 21:4. In heaven, there will be no more fear or worry or stress. We won't need locks on the doors, or bars on the windows, or sophisticated alarm systems, because everything that causes fears will be eliminated. Evil and Satan and death will be banished forever, and we will no longer be threatened, either by nature or by other people. Conflicts and wars will cease, and all the things that divided us on earth will divide us no more. God's promise will be fulfilled. In keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness, 2 Peter 3:13. Heaven will also be a place of reunion. I'm often asked if we will meet our loved ones there who have died in the Lord. I have no doubt that we will. This truth has become even more precious to me since the death of my wife, Ruth, almost 3 years ago. The most important truth about heaven for us today, however, is that God wants us to be there. We cannot win our way into heaven by our own goodness, because we will never be good enough. God's standard is perfection, but God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to become the final and complete sacrifice for us. And when we put our faith and trust in him, all our sins are erased and heaven's door opens for us. I thought that was just a neat kind of kick us off kind of explanation of some facets of heaven. Before I start drawing a correlation of heaven on earth, there's just a few more things that I want to laser. Who's got the first one? Revelation 21, 1, 2, 3?
Yeah. And the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were on the healing, or for the healing of the nation.
Okay, so basically, I'm trying to like paint a picture just a little bit of a few things that might be in heaven. So in that one, it said light, fruit, water, and tree life. Excellent, yeah.
The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and thus shall be serpents. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy.
Okay, cool. So animals. It's funny, I read somewhere else, and this is kind of like, I think it was talking about like a New Year's, and then somewhere else it said there will be no more lions or rabbits or beasts. So there's somewhere in there is the truth, right? And maybe it's that lions are, because it said something about lions eating grass, so lions are herbivores. Right. But again, like beyond our comprehension, many times. What's the next one? Luke 22:30.
So you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, serving the Lord's Christ.
You're eating and drinking. Matthew 8:11. There will be peace. Revelation 21:4.
He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things have passed away.
There will not be any death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. In that kingdom.
Yes.
Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lamb leap like a deer, and the lamb shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. There will not be any lame, mute, blind, or deaf. So, just a glimpse, okay? Just a glimpse of, you know, some things that, that we've read about heaven. Not an all-inclusive list, not even close, but kind of just to cue us up, just kind of thinking about paradise. I was reading this book by Bill Johnson. It's The Way of Life, and he lists three things that will be in heaven. I thought some of them were kind of neat words. Worship, obviously, right? Rest, another one. And play, another one. I need to back up just a little bit because I want you to know that the objective today is not trying to convince you about what heaven will look like, okay? And I'm also not arguing with any of your conceptions of heaven. It's definitely not where I want to go, because I think God is, he wants to communicate to you differently than he wants to communicate to me about heaven. My objective would be more so that you would take that, what God's giving you, in relation with heaven, and translate that into our life right now. So it's just to attain a fresh perspective on how God created us to live now. And that he would give you a revelation of why he included in the prayer, if he asks us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's funny, I thought about one aspect of that prayer differently while I'm preparing for this, and it was this. Did Jesus have faith when he was praying? You know? I mean, he was praying and asking us to pray that God, that his kingdom would come on earth, just like it is in heaven. And so would he just like nonchalantly praying that, or was he praying that, wanting that to happen? And did he have enough faith for that to happen? And so those are some of the things, like the deep thoughts that are kind of rattling around in my brain. As I'm preparing to talk about heaven on earth, yesterday, yesterday at Bob's celebration, I heard some words well spoken by, I believe, someone in this room. And he said something to the effect of that Jesus would want us to live a life full lived, well lived, live a life well lived, and to live life to the fullest in Christ Jesus, like Bob did. And so that's kind of where I'm at as I start thinking about how does God want me to live? Like, what is it? And so this message might sound a little bit like something we've heard before. Or it might sound like another kind of fad. You've heard of fads before. One of them was, you remember the What Would Jesus Do bracelet? But when that started, it was kind of cool, right? It was like, oh, now I'm going to think about, every time I make a decision, I'm going to think about, well, what would Jesus do? And then all of a sudden it becomes a, watered-down version of, of Christianity or whatever. But it starts out like something really, really neat and true. And this might be something for the moment. It might be something just for now. But I think it's worth considering. Another one that is probably a little more personal to me is I got a book from someone on humility, one of my really good friends. And on the picture on the front of the book is this empty bowl. And you don't know why that picture is there. But you start reading, and then it talks about humility, like is emptying yourself. And so then he kind of paints the picture of this bowl. And so one thing leads to another throughout the book. The next thing I know, I'm walking into a store, like envisioning myself as an empty bowl, just emptied of everything, of all my pride and everything is just gone. And I'm just this empty vessel walking in. And it changed my mind on what humility looks like. So in the same way of what would Jesus do in an empty bowl, my prayer is that we would walk away today with a new mindset of what that meant, what God's, what his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and what that means. And part of it is just a mindset, right? It's just, we can have an earthly mindset, or we can have a heavenly mindset. So, if the earthly mindset comes easy to us, and a heavenly mindset is something we want, if it's behind a closed door or behind a veil, or it's hard for us to picture what a heavenly mindset would look like, I would just personally propose three words or three keys to unlock that door, okay? So bear with me on the three. Again, not all inclusive, but we might not hit on everything. But I think if we take these three things, that it would help us to go out of here and picture ourselves walking with that heavenly mindset, with heaven in mind, if you will. So the three keys are faith, forgiveness, and fun. I know you don't want me to do the fun one first, but we're going to wait the last on that one, okay? So faith. If you think about it, faith is lack of fear. If you're fearful, Do you have faith? No. And if you're full of faith, where is fear? Another way to think about faith is having an abundance mindset or abundance mentality. Do you know those people? Are you one of those people? It's the opposite of the scarcity mindset. So the scarcity mindset is, I don't have enough, so I'm not going to do this. And maybe it's, maybe I don't have enough character. Maybe I need to grow first and then I'll do it. I've taught on tithes before, and sometimes it's, I'm going to wait till I have and then I'm going to give. And it's just the opposite, it's that paradox thing. The more I give, the more I'll have. But that's a scarcity mindset. Abundance mentality is God's got the cattle on a thousand hills. That type of mentality, that he is not limited. And so if we want to walk with a heavenly mindset, then we're going to think like Christ and know how much is at our disposal in a way. So it'll lead us to step out more. And it'll lead us to worry less. You've heard, cast your cares on Christ, because he cares for you. Right? I don't know if I thought it was that. So also in that book that I've been reading by Bill Johnson, he said faith is spelled R-I-S-K. So that's not everything about faith, but if you think about it in one sense, sometimes faith looks like taking a risk. And so that's it on faith, but if you think about living with a heavenly mindset and thinking about how much is in heaven, like we can't even begin to describe all of what's in heaven. It's bigger than anything we can even comprehend. And so if that's the case, then we have a lot of things going for us. That's what we believe as Christians. Right? If we believe in Christ and we believe in heaven, then we know that there's a place being prepared for us. And so why would I want to live like I don't have it? Or I'm not able? Or, because that's when I say that, I'm saying God's not able. No. Next. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is the lack of bitterness or envy, strife, hate. So you think about someone or ourselves, if there's an unresolved issue and we're walking around with bitterness, that's a tough place to be, and it's hard to have a heavenly mindset when I am feeling bitter, when I feel like there's like a blockage between me and another person or persons. And I feel the farthest away from heaven, I guess, when that happens. Envy, jealousy, strife, like fighting, inner fighting, bad feelings towards other people. That's when I feel the least free. The opposite of that is a love mindset. It's being others focused. Bennett is actually my example here. because he is so inquisitive about other people, and he just wants to see you. He wants to see everyone. And you just get this feeling when he kind of, this guy right here, when he catches your eyes, like, it's like he wants to see you. He wants to know you. He wants to, like, know what you're about. And you get this connection, this eye-to-eye connection, and he doesn't go away. It's like, he'll always win the stare down. That's my example, because can I be like that? You know, can I make that kind of connection with people that Bennett can? Or is there something like broken inside of me that hinders me from doing that? Yes, there is. But if I want to have that pure heavenly mindset, how do I get to that point? Those types of questions. See, Jesus never let the problem remain. He always dealt with it. You know, you can't find an example where Jesus just kind of like didn't want to deal with something that he was afraid to or something, you know? So much the opposite. Just so much boldness. Sometimes it's baggage. Sometimes it's like, you know, things that we're holding on to. Maybe it's like a story we're holding on to, gossip. Maybe it's just we have these feelings about someone, we just have to say it. Slander, complaining, negativity. Sometimes it's just road rage, you know. It's something common with a lot of us. And, but if you think about it, if you're holding on to the baggage, and you might know about it and think, well, maybe one day I'm going to deal with it, and that's okay. You know, some things take a while to unravel. But if I'm holding baggage, I want to get on with it. Because the longer I'm holding baggage, the least amount of freedom I have. And I'm correlating a lot of times freedom with heaven. I can't think of a place more free. And this is another one from Bill Johnson in that same book. Sorry, that's just a lot of my content. But he said, every part of my life should worship God. And should point to and show reverence to God. And if it's something that's not, then I need to deal with that. So that's the last point about forgiveness. Forgiveness is one thing. You know, if you're holding a grudge with someone, you know, forgiveness will set you free. But it's a little deeper than that. It's anything inside of us that hinders us, that slows us down, that weighs us down. All right, here we are. Bear with me. Hang in there with me, okay? This one was just a little bit sticky for me until yesterday, when I saw how much fun Bob had in his life and how much of that fun even lives beyond and is living now. You know, you saw it in everyone wearing jerseys. And, I mean, have you ever been to a more fun celebration? And you didn't feel bad for it, you know? Sometimes we as Christians can, like, almost feel bad for having fun. And it's kind of a shame in one way, Because if Christ died to set us free, then, you know, even those feelings that hold us back from wanting to enjoy, and, you know, the sticky part was that we don't want to live by our feelings, right? And so we get that. But sometimes we can hold ourselves back even from experiencing God's full joy. So, what do I mean? Well, to me, and part of it is, okay, so you might could think of a better word, but I had to go with now. So let's kind of describe that a little bit more. So when I mean, when I say fun, we're talking about the lack of sadness, the lack of mourning, and the lack of pain. You know, when sometimes to think about heaven, we also kind of think about Eden. Right? I mean, you think about paradise, you think about how God wants things to be. And to me, that's how he created Eden, how he wanted it to be. And so one way for me to think about heaven is to also think about going back to Eden. And I know it's easier said than done, because we're not in Eden, and we're not in heaven. And I think that's pretty clear. But, you know, some people think about heaven as some people think about earth as hell. Or they'll say things like hell on earth, you know. Yeah. I'd rather think about heaven on earth, personally. And so, you know, can more about fun. How about this? Another F word, I could use that. Fellowship. Fellowship more. And fun events with others. You build each other up and glorify Christ. You know, these are things that you know, I was talking to a friend about community today, you know, and that's what we are, we're about, Crown Christian Fellowship, building relationships to transform lives, to impact the world. That's our motto. And so that should look like having fun together. So if it doesn't, like, how do we fix that, you know? Adventure. Created for adventure. And, you know, far be it for me to limit Christ or inhibit him. I don't want Christ inhibited in my life. And so, when you look at that, that's what I mean. By inhibiting myself and limiting myself, I'm inhibiting and limiting Christ. And lastly, just to live abandoned, undignified before the King. So, my sister actually posted something on one social media. I don't know what it was, but it was a kid, little girl, in a mud puddle, just like having a, you know, huge smile on her face, and she was just like all spread out, and there was just like pure joy on her face. And so, you know, kids are awesome, right? And we grow up, and we have, you get these things going on in our life, and things get dirty and muddy, and, you know, we stop being like a kid. And so part of, if this message were to continue, it might go to What is the kingdom of heaven like? Might go to that, because there's a lot in here. The kingdom of heaven is like, right? And one of those would be the child, the young children, because they live abandoned, knowing to be about and for the kingdom. Almost there. This one, maybe a little bit of a disclaimer. So we talked about faith, we talked about forgiveness, and we talked about fun. And so we're talking about, like, bringing heaven to earth. The question is, whose job is that? You know, part of why I started thinking about this topic, honestly, is places I've been lately. I've been to some really beautiful places. Last year, for our 20th anniversary, we got to see the West Coast for the first time and drive up that one highway, and you see these cliffs and waves and little islands all by themselves. And then Hawaii, and you get to see just what some would call paradise, and the greenery and the waterfalls, and it's just beautiful. Jamaica this year was really, really green. It felt like it rained for us. And it rained every day for about an hour. Honestly, I started thinking about it because of God's nature. That's what brought this whole topic to mind. But even those places were so far from heaven. I was in one of the places about a year ago, and it felt like paradise in a way. And then I get a call from back at home, and we had a family issue. The kid had wandered away from home. And so all of a sudden, paradise doesn't feel like paradise, right? So it's not about the place. It's not about something that I can make. It's something deeper than that. So what I wanted to say before I conclude is that it's not I. I cannot create heaven on earth. I didn't have these tabs. I'm going to have that there rather than leave you in the dark. 1 Corinthians 15, 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than them, all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. And so that's just a good kind of outlook on how much power I have. There's a lot of power, and I have access to it. It's just, whose power is it? And, you think about, Solomon talked about, trying to create paradise here, and he amassed all this wealth and tried everything. But in Ecclesiastes 2, one of my favorite books, I started falling in love with this when I was a teenager. He said, I thought in my heart, come now, I'll test you with pleasure to find out what's good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter. I tried cheering myself with wine, embracing folly. Speed read. I built houses for myself, planted vineyards, made gardens, parks, planted all kinds of fruit trees in them, made reservoirs, flourishing trees, owned more herds and flocks than anyone. Amassed more silver and gold for myself, treasure of kings and provinces, acquired men, women, singers, became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired or refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, but chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. And so that, to make it clear that it doesn't matter, like, we can't go out of here and just like, you know, I'm going to find the most fun thing that I can do, and then there's heaven. You know, because that's when I fall on my face and realize I'm just in a mud puddle. But what can I do? I can choose to not love the world or anything in the world, knowing that it passes away with its desire. Instead, do the will of God and live forever. First John 2. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful men, the lust of his eyes and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. And one last one that's really a kicker is, I can seek his kingdom first and then have all these things added on me. I think that goes. You paraphrase there. So, to conclude, as I burn through this conclusion, just kind of like, if you would, you would enter into this conclusion with a heart of prayer. And I guess that means prayer in that there's a communication going on between the God of the universe and yourself. And maybe there's a word, a bunch of words here. Maybe there's a word that I can identify with. Maybe there's just one of them, like, kind of tweaked me a little bit. Because to me, it has produced fruit already to walk with heaven in mind. And so my prayer would be that as we go through this conclusion, that God would identify something in you. And at the end, is Robin still in here? No. Yeah, if you don't mind. Because I want to just think it would be beneficial to have just a couple minutes of quiet reflection to think about it. So, conclusion, we talked about heaven as a place with fear, without fear, without hate, and without sadness. We also talked about heaven as a place with freedom, with love, and with gladness. So on earth, if we could have more faith, more forgiveness, and fun by accepting Christ's mindset of abundance, servitude, and abandonment for him. And And lastly, looking to Christ. With disdain for the world, seeking his kingdom, and doing the will of Father, the will of the Father. Brian, if you would. Evelyn, do you mind hitting the lights too, just to help? So Lord, we conclude today. Just asking that you would help us to see what it would be like to live with heaven in mind. Lord, if there are things in us that don't belong there, maybe they're put there by fear or some kind of hurt. Maybe, you know, there might be lies that I believe. Would you show them to me? There might be embarrassment or shame. Would you identify those for me? Just come in and shine your light. Lord, I want more freedom. I want to live with more love, with more gladness. I want to live a life well lived. Live to the fullest in Christ Jesus.